The Brave Man. There was a man who was exceptionally brave, a man who went to meet danger. When he was a young boy living in Kostohana, he went with another child to pick blackberries, and the child with him, going ahead, met a rattlesnake under his hand and was paralyzed with fear. This boy, without tool or weapon, darted out his hand and picked up the snake behind its head so that it could not turn to bite him, and whirled it and flung it far across the thickets. When he was still wearing undyed clothing, the wild pigs came down from the northeast countries in vast herds and were eating all the gathering acorns and making the woods and hills very dangerous for human people to go in. The young man would go out alone to hunt the wild pigs, without dogs, and with a bow, not a gun. He killed a great many, so many that people had to help him bring back the hides for pigskin leather. When he was in the Bay Laurel Lodge, he climbed the palisades, climbing even the overhang without a rope, and he spent a season with the Phalaris people, sailing small boats on the deep sea. He became a member of the Finder's Lodge, and roamed far and wide among many places and peoples across the inland sea and across the range of light. He spent 3 years on the shores of the Omorn Sea, having sailed across the rift or straits to the desert countries and the great canyons and mountains of the range of heaven. In desolate places where those with him were troubled and ill at ease, he had no worry and no fear. He laid his head down on the stone under which lay the scorpion, and both slept. He went willingly and alone into the poisoned regions, and because he was not confused by anxiety nor forced to hurry by fear, he did no harm to himself or others, but by following maps and guides given by the exchange and by his own accurate and intrepid exploration, he reached deposits of tin, copper, and other valuable substances. His name became Bell because the expeditions he went on brought back so much metal that the smith art was able to make bronze in quantity and cast bells of it for sheep, cattle, and musicians. Bells cast of bronze are the sweetest and most complex in tone, and so they called him by that name, a gift name. After several great journeys, he was ready to settle down for a while, and presently he married a fifth house woman, he himself being of the fourth house. They lived together in her household in contentment, he studying with the finders and at the exchange in Wakwaha, and she a master vintner of the wine art, until she became pregnant, and the pregnancy went badly. She miscarried in the sixth month, and after the miscarriage did not recover. She bled and wasted, and ate and slept very little. Doctors found no cause for surgery, and no remedies gave relief. A bringing in was held, but she could not sing. One day Belle came into the house and found her lying alone, weak and weeping. She said, "Belle, I am going to die." He said, "No, that isn't so. You won't die." She said, "I am afraid." He said, "Fear is no use. There's nothing to fear." "Is death nothing to fear?" she asked him. "Death is nothing to fear," he said. She turned away from him and wept in silence. Another day, soon after, he came, and she was very weak. She could not lift her hand. He said, "Listen, my wife, if you're afraid to die, I'll do it for you." That made her smile. She said, "Brave fool." He said, "I will die for you, my wife." "No one can do that," she said. "With your consent, I can do it," he said. She thought that he still did not understand that she was dying. He seemed like a child to her. She said, "You have my consent." He stood up from the bedside. He stretched himself so that he stood with his legs and arms extended and his face turned upward. Then he called upward aloud, "Come, mother, come, father, come from that house, come here to me from that falling house." He looked down at his wife then and said, "Please don't call me any longer by the name I was called. With your consent, I have given it away. All the name I have now is Bear." Then he spread out the bedding in the corner and lay down in that room. That night it began raining. A great storm came out of the northwest, with lightning striking in forest and town, and thunder crashing from range to range, and rain coming down with no air between the raindrops. Birds were beaten from their nests, and ground squirrels drowned in their burrows that night. Each time the thunder sounded, the man who said his name was Bear would cry out. Each time the lightning flashed, he would hide his face, moaning. His wife was so worried about his behavior that she asked her sister to help her move her bedding beside his, and she took his hand, but she could not make him be calm. She sent her sister to bring his mother from her household. She came, and she, too, asked him, "What is it, Bill? What is wrong with you?" He did not answer any of them, but lay trembling and hiding. At last his wife remembered that he had said to call him Bear. She said, "Bear, why do you act like this?" Then he said, "I am afraid." "What are you afraid of?" "I have to die." His mother said to the wife, "Why does he say that?" She said, "He said he would die for me. I consented." The mother and the sister said, "No one can do that." The wife said to him, "Listen, I do not consent. If I gave consent, I take it back." But he did not hear her. The thunder crashed and the rain roared on the roof and windows. It rained all the night and the next day, the next night and the day after that. The floor of the valley was flooded and there was standing water from Onmalin to Kastohana. The man who said his name was Bear lay while it rained, shivering and hiding, not eating and not sleeping. His wife stayed with him, trying to care for him, trying to make him be calm. People came from the doctor's lodge, but he would not speak to them nor hear them sing. He covered his ears, moaning. People began saying in town, "That brave man is dying for his wife, taking her place, dying." So it seemed to be happening. But no one knew if it could be done, or if it was something that ought to be done. People came from the Madrone Lodge and sat with the wife at the man's side. They talked to him, saying, "Listen, you are going too far. You should have been afraid to do this." He wept aloud. He said, "It's too late now. Now I am afraid." They said, "You can come back." Again he wept and said, "I never knew the bear. Now I am the bear." It stopped raining at last, and the waters returned into the river, and the weather went on in the usual way. But the man never got up, but lay trembling and did not eat. His bowels gave way, and he began to bleed from the anus and to be in pain. He cried out and screamed. He was so strong and sound a man that it took him a long time to die. After 14 days he could not speak any more, and 4 days after that they began singing the Going Westward to the Sunrise songs in his room, but still he lived 9 days, blind and moaning, before he died entirely. After his death the wife tried to change her name, calling herself Coward, but most people would not call her that. She regained fair health and lived to be an old woman. Each year at the ceremony of mourning at the World Dance, she threw his names on the fire, his first names and the name Bell, and last the name Bear. And though names are burnt only once, no one prevented her from this because of the name and because of what he had done to her. So it went on a long time, and so the story got remembered for a long time, even now, long after she too died.